You're on 101.5 FM and we are talking today about Remembrance Day, all right? Today we pay our respects and our gratitude to those who have served our country. Many come home from combat or peacekeeping duties with physical injuries, but just as many bring home those unseen hurts and damage that can last a lifetime for them and for their loved ones trying to support them. That's where PTSD Dogs Australia come in. And I'm delighted to say that we have CEO Angela Weeks joining us today to help veterans and the wider community understand their mission. Angela, thank you so much for joining us today on such a significant day.
Thank you, Rosemary. And hello, listeners. It's a pleasure to share our knowledge and perhaps help another veteran or first responder.
Absolutely great there, Angela. Now, can you just tell us about PTSD Dogs Australia and the remarkable difference you're having in the community with veterans and first responders?
Absolutely, Rosemary. So PTSD Dogs Australia is a veteran-run family charity, and our sole purpose is to rescue, shelter, death row unwanted dogs, train them as a post-traumatic stress disorder assistance dogs, and those dogs are then gifted to veterans and first responders who are clinically diagnosed with PTSD due to their service to us and our community.
All right. So how does your lived experience as a veteran shape your approach?
It's that lived experience. You understand our quirkiness, and I'm the wife of a veteran. It is my husband, and he's the reason this organisation was created when we couldn't get him the help. People just don't understand the difference, I guess, so often of being a veteran or first responder. Our mindsets are very different to general public. We're very quirky in what happens and the way we say things. And so having that knowledge, there's no offence here. Everything's on the table. And we just roll with it. We understand that we do think differently. We behave differently. And so it's that lived experience and being able to support each other, that camaraderie is so important.
Very, very important, Ange. Now, what are some of the unique challenges that veterans and first responders face with PTSD that the general public might not really understand?
Do you know, as we train, we've just entered a new training process again, new group of people, and you go right back to those noises, those sounds. So having to be very aware as a trainer and being with these people, the different triggers for them. And if it's a fiery, it could be sirens, it could be bulldozer type noises, it could be even windy days, the dry weather that we've got at the moment, where we're going into fire danger month. For our veterans, it's what's happening in the media, seeing the world as it is, and those sorts of things. As a general public, we don't see them, it doesn't trigger us, but for veterans and first responders, there are so many things, and even people coming up behind you, touching you. We're taught to respond, and it's not in a very pleasant way, because we're in fight, freeze or fidget.
And I'm sure, Angela, that a helicopter seems to affect a lot of return soldiers, doesn't it? The sound of a helicopter.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely, it does. And it's just what they've, that puts them back into a situation. And that's what PTSD is that it's so often that reoccurring intrusive thoughts that actually take us back to an environment and a situation that we had no control in.
No. Now, Angela, can you walk us through your rescue to service dog journey? I mean, how do you transform displaced and unwanted dogs into life-changing assistant animals?
So it starts with our assessments of the dogs. So we look for dogs who are really empathic. We look for dogs who are coachable, trainable, that actually have smart, and generally are food driven. So Labradors are great for that. So we do look for those dogs that have all of those things. Now, because they are rescue, people go, oh, haven't they already got scars? Well, yes, sometimes they do, but it's not to a point that that would impact them negatively, because the dogs that we're actually looking for are pretty robust. And it's interesting, because we actually say that our veterans and first responders are very resilient people, and they've had to be because of the trauma that's always being out there. And same with the dog. So they need to be really resilient. They need to be able to get out into public space and just go with the flow and be comfortable with that. So we do take the dogs through a 7-module training program. It is all about teaching them to follow our hand, because often when we're in an episode, we lose the ability to speak. Mm-hmm. So instead, they can follow a hand and get into a position. They might be able to create space around us. They can do deep pressure with us. And that can all be signaled by hand, as well as all of the verbal type cues that we do. And of course, then there's all of the socialization of being out in public spaces. It's the spaces that we don't like being out in: shopping centers, going to cafes and restaurants with our family, often very triggering and very difficult. So we want our dog to be super comfortable in those environments, be very calm, and to be so focused on us that if we go into an episode and start to disassociate, get stressed, our dogs are trained to pick up on those nuances, those little changes that happen within us, and then respond to that with a task.
Right.
It's a pretty awesome program.
Yeah. And can you possibly share one of these little stories about a particular dog that exemplifies this transformative power?
Oh, absolutely. I've got so many to share.
I bet you have.
Every dog is special and every dog is unique. And then when we find the right placement with their human, it's really amazing, because I actually find that what the dog needs to learn is actually what generally the human needs to learn. And so that bond and growth comes together, and it's so natural and so beautiful. So let's have a look at Team Blaze, for example. So Team Blaze, veteran was a clearance diver, really did not leave home, had a young family. Unfortunately, he was not getting into the schools, tried to, and would go into a panic attack and have to leave. Then we found Blaze, who was an Australian Shepherd. He was actually donated from a breeder as a last pup that was left. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty amazing. So we trained him up, incredibly intelligent, and we taught him to be able to do all the clinical type things. So being able to pick up on the tremors, picking up on the night terrors, picking up on the profuse sweating of the human. And these things actually meant I need to do X, Y, Z. For this particular veteran, being licked when he was sweating profusely, he found very calming and soothing. Now, some listeners would be going, oh my God, I couldn't think of anything worse. And you're right, that dog would never be right for you, which is why it's so important that we get the right mix.
Yeah.
So Blaze would pick up on the sweating, the shaking. He would lick. He would then do what we call an over, or lay on top, which is a bear hug.
Yeah.
And that pressure of a 24-kilo dog was absolutely perfect. So very grounding. And then we were actually able to then teach the veteran long, slow, soothe, calming pats, head to tail. So he's got the weight of the dog on him. The dog is actually licking him. And then the sensory also of touch. And if you think this particular dog's coat was silky smooth, so you're feeling that running through your fingers. And we work on the breath. So we're actually co-regulating, and it's down regulation, and it's very calming and soothing. It puts us straight back into our body and gets us out of our head, which is where all that emotional state's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the beautiful story here is that this veteran was actually able to attend his son's final year or final day of school.
Yeah.
He missed his child's year 12 graduation, tried to go into the city, but with all of the busyness, the noise, the people, unfortunately, he couldn't enter the building and couldn't be there for his son. That was really hard, and it's a memory that will always be there. And he promised that by the time he finished his year 12, which was a few months down the track, he promised his son that he would be there for final day. And he did, with Team Blaze, the dog beside him, doing all of the things that Blaze was taught to help keep his dad calm. And that's a memory. It's an emotional state. It's something that father and son and family will have for the rest of their lives. That It's sensational. It's life transforming.
Yeah, it's almost goosebump material, Angela. It's not when you think about it.
It is. And, yeah. I mean, this family have now gone on where his wife's grandmother passed away recently. It meant that they needed to travel to Melbourne from Brisbane. And so the wife, the husband and the dog all jumped on a plane, flew down to Melbourne and was actually able to be there for her family and for her to be able to say her final goodbyes to her grandmother. I mean, again, so, so important. That's life transforming. It's dogs are saving lives. We are saving lives of the dogs.
Yeah.
But then we go on, the dogs save the lives of that human, the marriage, the family. It's just piecing it all together, ripples of joy and happiness.
Beautiful. Angela, what do you want the broader Australian community to understand about PTSD assistant dogs? Just give us a little nutshell there of what's happening, what you need people to know about.
So first and foremost, we are lived experience. We all know PTSD, from my veteran husband to my own childhood trauma and abuse that I've gone through. We understand PTSD first and foremost. We are very trauma-informed care. We train these dogs specific tasks to mitigate an individual person's PTSD, depression, anxiety. It is a very personalized service. This is lifelong. It's a lifelong commitment. It's not an easy road, but you never walk it alone, because you've got us, but you've also got the dog that comes alongside. It's a team effort, or we call ourselves the furry and the not so furry pack. We're here to support each and every one of us.
Wonderful. Now, on this Remembrance Day, Angela, what message would you like to share with the veterans and first responders who might be struggling at this particular moment?
To never give up, first and foremost. Today is one day. Tomorrow is another. Come reach out if you would like to have your own assistance dog. If you want to find out more about it, reach out, because we are here and we're here to help. Don't have to do it alone. We understand you. We get you. We thank you for your service. But most importantly, you are never, ever alone.
Great. Now, look, before I let you go, and you and I could sit here and talk about this for hours, it's so heartwarming and so very, very needed. I believe you've got some little first generation puppies, and I think they're about 6 months old at this stage. Can you just tell us a little bit about them, Angela?
Sure. So we've been reached out to from a Labradoodle breeder, and unfortunately he's not been able to sell or home these first generation. So that means first generation is one parent is a purebred Labrador, one parent is a purebred standard poodle. So he actually has 9 puppies who are currently 6 months of age, and he's asked us if we would like them. Now, there's no way that we could take on 9 dogs.
No.
However, we are looking for people who would be interested in having an assistance dog, and we are setting up a program, or we already have a program in place, but we want 9 people potentially who would be interested in reaching out, coming and meeting us, learning about our program, and potentially getting one of these dogs. Now, it may not be a veteran or first responder. It could be somebody who is general public through a doctor or a domestic violence. It could be natural disaster, somebody who suffers with depression, anxiety, PTSD, that really wants to have an assistance dog, must have a clinical diagnosis and a support team, so medical support team, that want a dog. If you're interested, please reach out to us at ptsddog.org.au, and we want to meet you, talk to you, share what the program's about, and let's get these dogs out into homes and let them help us all change our lives for the better and make a better world. But we also get to help a breeder who's really struggling and very unwell and not been able to place these dogs. So it's a win-win for everybody.
It sounds that way. Ange, thanks very much for talking to us today. We really appreciate it, and keep up the good work, and hopefully your puppies will continue to do some wonderful things for our veterans and any of those that are suffering from PTSD. Thank you.
Thank you, Rosemary.
What an incredible impact that the work that the PTSD Dogs do for our veterans, families living with the challenges. For more information on how you can get involved as a volunteer or as a veteran, go to the www.ptsddog.org.au and stay tuned to 101.5 FM for more stories, podcasts and great music.